Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to the latest and greatest episode of the official Dom J Radio Show. What's good, world? I hope y'all have been staying blessed. Hope y'all have been staying in the house also, because it's still crazy out there in them streets. On this episode, we'll be celebrating Black History Month in a variety of manners, if you will, checking in with some of my culture correspondents, discussing the latest news and entertainment for your consideration, or FYC, giving you the quote of the day, the QOTD, the thought of the day, TOTD, and much more after this brief message.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent Jerry, stopping by to let you know Dom love the podcast, man.
So in entertainment news, there's been a great start, if you will, in my estimation, to 2021 entertainment versus what we got in 2020. Really been enjoying a lot of content on a variety of streaming platforms. And just to give y'all a little sample, some of the things on HBO Max, Titans has been a pretty dope watch. I enjoyed the first season. I think I'm waiting to start the second season. But I like DC shows more so than DC movies, because I feel like they do a better job of getting gritty, getting dirty, really, you know, showing the gray areas, that it isn't just some love story of, you know, falling into your superpower discovery, then having a revelation of, you know, clear cut good and bad, and then making all choices accordingly. A lot of blurred lines, especially with origin stories. And I think that's one of the strongest elements of the Titan show is the origin story. I think they do a great job elaborating on it in the first season. No spoilers if you haven't already seen it. I don't know if it just came out last year because I'm just catching up. But definitely worth the show if you're a comic fanboy, a DC fanboy or fangirl, of course, for sure. Definitely worth checking out. And they have some more good stuff dropping on HBO Max too, man. If you're into documentaries, the Tiger Woods documentary, I hear that's a good one. I'm kind of like, on some documentaries, I don't really care about the sports or the background. Really feel like I got to see everything Tiger Woods went through to a degree. Do I want an in-depth lens of, you know, interviews of people that were around or in the vicinity of, but not actually Tiger Woods himself? Not really. But just around the corner is something I am really excited about, and you may have seen promos for it if you've been, you know, watching TV. Obviously, Judas and the Black Messiah is dropping exclusively on HBO Max on the 12th of February. So that's a film that I am definitely geeked about. It'll also be streaming in theaters, of course, if you're going out to the movie theaters. Eventually, a brother definitely do want to go back to the movie theaters. I think that's one of my favorite date night options. Or if I was rolling solo, just to catch something early when ain't nobody there but old people. Hell, I even fell asleep once in the movie theaters because I was there and it was so quiet and relaxing. But those are the before times, if you will. But I'm definitely excited for this movie, man. Judas and the Black Messiah should be a great story, and especially during this time, I think, you know, it's probably not ironic that it's dropping in February, but I love it, and I'm looking forward to it. Mortal Kombat dropping April 16th, also on HBO Max. Saw some first look posters and pictures from that. I love it, man. I feel like I haven't really seen any real big push on Mortal Kombat, you know, as far as the movies go, since that one that dropped in the 90s, man, like way, way, way long time ago. And that was a low-key classic, underrated, I'm sure. Probably not too thrilled from a viewing perspective if you're a real critic or something like that, but I definitely enjoyed the old school Mortal Kombat. So when this one drops on April 16th, I will be looking forward to it as well. Switching from one streaming app to another, Amazon Prime, American Skin. Man, what to say about it? It's hard when you're watching these pieces, right, that are so dynastic in a sense of they tear at you with the realism. Things that I like, you know, fantastical movies and TV shows are great, but then the elements of realism, the everyday applicability of a film like American Skin, for contrast purposes, just so endearing because it speaks to a lot of truth. It speaks to the truth of being a black male in America. It speaks to the truth of trying to raise a black son in this country. It speaks to the dichotomy when you're in that position of raising them to know who they are, raising them to not have a spirit of fear and doubt upon them, but also the realities that regardless of whether you have that fear and doubt upon you, the streets, the police play by a certain set of rules. And oftentimes you will be on the losing end of those rules. And by rules, that means often on the losing end of a gun. So in keeping that in mind, man, that movie is very powerful. I really enjoyed it. Produced by Nate Parker. He's acting in the film as well. So, you know, it's a really moving film. I won't spoil it. I want to delve into it even further. I may come back to it, have some guests, my old lady talk about it as well. So who knows, man? But if you haven't seen American Skin on Amazon Prime, I would definitely recommend it, especially if you're part of the culture. Put that on your to-watch list for this month, all right? And right along with that, One Night in Miami. Now, I talked about this one on a previous episode, so obviously following back on that. Great film, man. I mean, again, when you have the powerhouses of Sam Cooke, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, Joe Brown, man, come on, man. Jim Brown. You're talking elite company as far as black male icons, especially in the late 60s, early 70s there. So that was another great movie. Amazon Prime really stepping it up with this content. I know next month, like I said on a previous episode also, but since we're closer to it, you got Coming to America 2 dropping exclusively right before the boy's birthday. So definitely geeked about that as well. Something else on Amazon Prime, just, you know, end up binging, getting back into a little binging here and there. A show called Flack with Ann Paquin, a.k.a. Sookie Stackhouse. If you follow my True Blood people out there, you know who that is and who said that. Sookie Stackhouse. But that's a cool little series, man. Showing her range, if you will. And I think that's one of those good things of watching somebody go through one of those long, drawn out, dramatic, fantastical series and then playing a different role that, you know, is more closer to the potential aspects of a real day job, the things you might go through trying to succeed in said field, the things that blur the lines between good and bad, right and wrong, and of course, just the choices we all make as human beings on an everyday basis. I ain't gonna spoil that one either. You can check the tagline for that. It's called Flack, also on Amazon Prime. No, this is not a promo for either HBO Max or Amazon Prime, but if anyone from either of those companies is listening and wants to cut your boy a check for these reviews and previews, I will gladly accept. All right. Last thing I saw on Amazon Prime, also The Little Things, man. Denzel, Jared Leto, Mans from iRobot, whose name I cannot remember off the top of my head, but you know what I'm talking about. The Little Things, definitely another piece of film, man, that if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. I mean, it's not HBO. I mean, that's not Amazon Prime. That's HBO Max. But it's one where, again, blurring the lines on certain things, if you will, doing things for good and bad reasons, knowing the outcomes, how they could affect you, how could they affect somebody else. I hate to give any sort of spoiler, so I ain't going to do that. It's in theaters and streaming exclusively on HBO Max. So Denzel Washington, Rami Malek, Jared Leto, Sofia Vassilieva, Natalie Morales, Bradley James. It's a lot of people in that movie, man. So, I mean, I could have probably stopped at Denzel and just told you to go from there, but definitely worth checking out on HBO Max. If you haven't seen that, check that out as well. So they're really coming with the content, man. As far as Netflix, haven't been watching too much on there since, I guess, Bridgerton, which was a nice little period piece. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest fan of those per se, but that one was entertaining because, of course, you know, that was a Shondaland production. Shout out to Shonda Rhimes and whatnot. But a lot of dope content coming out, man. So if you're streaming and you got all these streaming services like myself, go ahead and add these to your watch list, to your queues and all that. It's good stuff dropping.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent JJ, back again, this time for some sports talk. I'm going to give you guys a list of young, talented NBA teams that are exciting to watch right now. Now, we all know about the teams, you know, the typical teams that you need to watch, you know, the Nets and the 76ers and the, you know, and the Lakers and blah. We know about those. I'm giving these, this is a list of young teams that are exciting to watch. Is in no type of order whatsoever. But to start the list off, I got the Hornets. We all know Hornets has been giving this man LaMelo Ball all of the airtime. The Hawks is another team in the East that's exciting to watch. We got the Knicks. Even though the Knicks do lose a lot of games, they are an exciting team to watch. And don't forget about the Bulls. The Bulls over there, led by Zach LaVine, is a nice young team to look out for. They're actually pretty exciting to watch. Now in the West, we got the veteran-led team, the Suns, led by my man CP3. Yes, he's the old guy of the group, but the team itself, the core of the team is young. They're exciting to watch. The Memphis Grizzlies, led by my man Ja Morant. Oh, he's a dog, bro. He's a dog. He's exciting to watch. Another team is the Kings, Sacramento Kings, led by my boy Fox. His game has tremendously increased from last year. I love watching him. He's an exciting player to watch. So be on the lookout for these teams. You see him playing, just the team, you know, watch him. They're a young team and they're really excited. Really exciting to watch.
Shout out to the Brody, Agent JJ, for coming through the pod, talking sports. And you're right, man. One of my favorite young teams to watch are the Charlotte Hornets, mostly because of LaMelo Ball, man. His impact on that team, I think it's pretty obvious. They're very exciting to watch. One of the highlights from just last night or the night before, on a fast break, him with a flashy behind-the-back pass to Miles Bridges, who then went up for the windmill slam. It was nasty, man. So definitely appreciate you stopping by, dropping it. Follow my boy on the internet, all them social medias and whatnot. If you don't know, now you know. You know what I'm saying? And we'll be back with more sports talk after this brief message. Litter boxes, toilet exteriors, tubs and shower walls, finished hardwood, sealed granite, stainless steels, got a mess? New 40% thicker cleaning, 2 times better Clorox disinfecting wipes can get the job done. They kill 99.9% of virus and bacteria, staph, E. coli, MRSA, salmonella, strep, kleb, kill cold and flu viruses, all of that with Clorox disinfecting wipes. So in sports, man, I called it a few weeks ago, before the James Harden trade, that James Harden and Deshaun Watson possibly wanted out of Houston. And that was not good for the city of H-Town and H-Town sports. Here we are a couple weeks later. Harden has been traded to the Nets. They basically gave up any and everything. But you get a big three of Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. So, I mean, when those are your big three, I think you're going to win a lot of games, and they've obviously already been doing that, so that's not really even a surprise. A lot of shootouts, but when you're talking about three of the most prolific scorers in the league, playing defense is probably going to be a secondary thing, but you got to keep up with those cats on any given night. Two out of the three could get cold, but, I mean, KD has got one of the most flawless jump shots, man. He can pull up basically from anywhere and it's not getting blocked. He's looking over, you're pulling up, fading back, all of that. So they're a dangerous team. Before the season kicked off and even before there was any of this James Harden news, I had Lakers versus Nets in the NBA Finals. So with that addition of James Harden, I definitely think the Nets are looking even stronger to come out of the East. And of course, I'm still sticking with my Lakers because why would I not? Shout out to the Laker family, Lake Show. If you're a Lakers fan, get at me, man. Add me on Twitter, all them social medias, all that good stuff. You know what I'm saying? But we got the Super Bowl and NFL talk right around the corner. Got the Chiefs, got the Bucks, almost a home game because the Super Bowl is happening in the Bucks' home stadium. So, you know, that's got to be comforting. They got to do no travel. The opposing team's not getting there until 2 days before the Super Bowl kicks off because of COVID and travel protocols, safety protocols, and things of that nature. So, should be an interesting game, man. You got two prolific offenses, two underrated defenses that I think the Bucks standout ability is pass rushing, mostly with four, which is a great benefit if you're having to defend against Mahomes. Even though Ty Bowles will bring blitz and extra pressure here or there, it'll be interesting to see how he schemes because Mahomes will pick it apart now if the blitz don't get there. He's going to be playing behind some backup offensive linemen, so that will be interesting. Anybody that's really ever played sports or is really educated on the subject of football and sports know whoever wins the battle at the line of scrimmage most likely will win that game. So it should be interesting to see who leans on who and comes out on top from that perspective. Like I've said before, man, I'm a Broncos fan. Unfortunately, we ain't got no quarterback, so I don't spend no whole lot of time talking about them cats. Do I want to see Patrick Mahomes win another Super Bowl as an opposing quarterback in my division? I do not. But do I want to root for Tom Brady? I guess I do. I got no problem with Tom Brady now that he's not in the AFC and blocking my team's opportunities from getting to the Super Bowl. So I got no problem with the Bucks winning. Obviously, Andy Reid is a mastermind, and if the Chiefs did win, I wouldn't be surprised about that outcome either way. So really and truly, I just want to see a good game. Go ahead and close out the NFL season. Tom Brady, man, making a 10th trip to a Super Bowl, man. We're talking something that will most likely stand the test of time as far as somebody being able to do that, and especially from the quarterback position, the hardest position in the sport, but he's done it so long and at such an elite level, it's really not too surprising. But again, you got to give the man props. In a season where they had, you know, to deal with COVID, you know, off seasons, the man switches teams, switches conferences, switches style, upgrades all the offensive weapons from what he had in New England to what he had down in Tampa. I think it was a clear and obvious great decision. And the man's in the Super Bowl in his first year, having beaten Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, possibly Patrick Mahomes on his way to another Super Bowl. Man, how could he not be the GOAT? So I ain't here to hate. I'm here to give that man his flowers in due time. Patrick Mahomes, even if he doesn't win this year, chances are as long as he, Andy Reid, you know, Kelce and Tyreek Hill stay as the trio or you know, core players for that team, I'm sure they will be just fine. That man's already had a lot of success in his short seasons. And Andy Reid, like I said, man, wherever he goes, the offense puts up numbers. So should be a hell of a game. Hell of a game. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are your Super Bowl 55 champions, defeating the Kansas City Chiefs 31-9. It was a really piss-poor effort, coincidentally, from the Kansas City Chiefs on all fronts, man. Definitely shout out to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coaching staff. Bruce Arians comprised an excellent, excellent staff, featuring three minority coaches and two female full-time coaches. And what was a clearly and decisively, you know, fantastic performance, man. 31-9. Think about it. One of the most high-powered teams in the offense, in offense in the NFL, held to 9 points in a Super Bowl, reminiscent of the 13-3 Patriots Rams Super Bowl from a couple years ago. But this is 31-9. So we're talking about a complete beatdown if you only score 9 points. And you give up damn near 3.5 times that to your opponents. So that's rough. Brady with another MVP, his fifth Super Bowl MVP. With his seventh career Super Bowl, he now has more rings by himself than any other franchise in the NFL. So there's really no discussing who's the GOAT in this. But I will say the system that he has just implemented there, taking the culture that you as a quarterback bring to a franchise that's not winning, to a team that, you know, hadn't had success in a substantial amount of time. I think it was like 03 since the Bucks won the Super Bowl versus the Raiders. Or whoever they won. I'm pretty sure it was the Raiders. Somebody in sports will let me know if I was wrong on that. But regardless, it's been like eons since they've had this sort of relevance. It's been, I think, 7 or 8 years since they've been in the playoffs. Jameis is a nice QB. The Saints picked him up as their backup and possible starter for next year. But all he was doing was throwing a whole lot of yards and touchdowns, but a whole lot of turnovers in the process. So Tom Brady clearly brought a level of professionalism, a winning culture, and mindset, and instilled it into the Buccaneers in 1 year with no offseason due to COVID, man. It's highly, highly impressive. Shout out to all the LSU players that got rings last night. Standouts Fournette and D. White. Devin White, obviously, man. I'm always happy to see LSU cats get their shine on, man. So NFL LSU, a beautiful night for that. Sorry for the honey badger. Rough night for him. Time was on him, boy. They had a lot of chit-chat going back and forth. But if you're a competitor, if you play sports, you know how it is. Once you're on the field or on the court, you cross those white lines. You turn into the most vindictive version of yourself as possible to get it going. So that's just people going back and forth there. But what a performance, man. Tom Brady, the GOAT. Can't even argue. Distance himself between Mahomes being the next GOAT. We'll have to wait and see. Because now, with this loss in the Super Bowl in his third year, he just got Brady. The same thing happened to Russell Wilson. First year starting, make the playoffs and lose. Second year starting, go to the Super Bowl and win. Third year, get Brady'd. And it could, who knows, man, depending upon how the Chiefs continue to build that roster. I'm sure they'll keep the offense intact, you know, with Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. But a lot of the ancillary pieces that you have around those players, who knows what could happen as far as the cap goes. Now, it's estimated to be approximately between 180 M's, 185 NFL salary cap. I'm sure they'll have ways of working through that. So it'll be interesting to see if the Chiefs get back, because I do like some other teams to potentially make more strides and close the gap in the AFC so it doesn't just appear like some cakewalk. But if it's going to be another cakewalk for Kansas City after this sort of defensive performance that Todd Bowles just let everybody see, hey, yes, they had a banged up offensive line coming into the game, but those are still grown men in the trenches going at it. You need to be able to bring consistent pressure and bracket coverage on the deadliest players on the Kansas City Chiefs offense. It was a masterful performance by Todd Bowles. Kudos to that black man. Happy for all those people who have been in head coaching positions like himself, didn't get the seemingly flawless transition of success when you weren't bestowed with it to begin with, and then are fired subsequently. But, I'm sure that brother will get what's coming to him in due time. If it's another head coaching gig, then so be it. But he's a champion regardless. The New York Jets should be looking at themselves kind of crazy. But they also upgraded their coaching position with Robert Saleh, first Muslim head coach in the NFL. So a lot of history being made in that capacity. But, man, back to the Super Bowl. What a game. What a performance from Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. The GOAT.
What's good, official Dom J Radio listeners? It's your boy, Agent JJ, aka Agent Double J, back again. This time to wish everyone Happy Black History Month. And for everyone black, like myself, who celebrates Black History Month every day, Happy February. Also, while I'm here, I want to give a shout out to my man, LeBron James. Hey, my man started Black History Month off with a bang, giving Courtside Karen the business. Courtside Karen is lucky Savannah James wasn't there, or she would have got a double dose of it that day. Well, with that being said, hey, I want everyone to go out there and prosper, especially if you're black. Peace out.
So like I said at the top of the show, man, talking history makers and game changers this episode, And there's been a good bit of history being made this year. We're in the midst of Black History Month, so of course I wanted to highlight some of these standout moments that have been accomplished for the first time in the history of the city of Baton Rouge, a city, you know, me being from Louisiana, spent a lot of time there, LSU native, go Tigers, you know what I'm saying, right there in Baton Rouge. But for the first time in history in the city of Baton Rouge, a black man, Lamont Cole, was elected to a full term as mayor pro tem of the city of Baton Rouge and the parish of East Baton Rouge. This took 200 years to happen in fullness. And, you know, that's a very historical thing because the community, if you've ever been to Baton Rouge, or I'm sure if you just look at the demographics in general of the city, there is a high level, obviously, of African-Americans. There's also a melting pot, if you will, in the city of Baton Rouge that goes beyond just white and black people. And so I think to have this sort of diverse representation, a first in a history in the deep heart of the South, if you will, is just something that I could not pass up an opportunity to speak on. So shout out to that brother, Lamont Cole, a full term as mayor pro tem of the city of Baton Rouge, man. So that's huge and something that's encouraging to hear about. We also have a new sheriff in Fort Bend County. Back to my H-Town people. Shout out to everybody there. There hasn't been a black sheriff in Fort Bend County in 150 plus years, but that changed January 1st when Eric Fagan was sworn in. So again, man, again, another forward-thinking county, Fort Bend County. My wife's family is from there. She's very familiar with this area. I don't know if she, you know, knows him. I probably could have spoke to her about it before I did this piece, but oh well, these were my thoughts and my highlights. Thank you very much. But so again, you know, history being made, Fort Bend County in Houston, one of the more, again, progressive places, despite what may be surrounding the greater Texas at large. But if you've been watching how Texas has been voting, change is coming to Texas, and you know, being in positions like this, new sheriffs in town means effective potential changes in policing of people of color, black people in particular, and just in the sense of, if you want to repair potentially any damaged relationships with the community by having somebody from the community represented accordingly, I think your chances of making said change increase exponentially. So, you know, that's some history in the making, man. So I just wanted to highlight those moments, places that are near and dear to my heart that are doing things different in 2021. That's the sort of energy we need, and that's the sort of energy I'm here to support and champion by all means. In a combination of both black history and sports history being made, the Washington football team, that is, their Jennifer King will be the first black woman to be a full-time NFL coach. They're promoting her to a full-time offensive assistant, and that's a first. She spent this past season as a full-time intern working with running backs coach Randy Jordan. Washington's running backs received strong production from third down back J.D. McKissic, who caught a career-best 80 passes for like 600 yards, rushed for another, you know, almost 400 yards. Rookie Antonio Gibson rushed for almost 800 yards and 11 touchdowns as he transitioned from playing mostly receiver in college to running back and produced those numbers in his rookie year. So clearly, she was great at her job and has been promoted as such. Love to see this sort of diversity being made for women, women of color, black women specifically, obviously. And I hope it's the first of many. We've had, you know, all female refed games in the National Basketball Association. Now we're having a historic movement here with the first African-American full-time women's coach in the NFL. So again, man, kudos to her. Shout out to the Washington football team for just recognizing talent as talent, regardless of who you may have preconceived notions about being able to do the job. This woman clearly showed that she can not only do the job, but excel at it, and is being rewarded accordingly. I like what they're doing in making this sort of move here. So shout out to that queen, Jennifer King. My thought of the day. TOTD, if you will, is in regard to Black History Month. What is Black History to me? What does Black History Month represent to me? It's an additional emphasis on things I'm already aware of. It's an additional grounding and reaching to higher pillars and recognition of some of the above things that I've mentioned as far as inventions, schemes and dreams, any of those derelictions that they said we couldn't achieve. We somehow found a way to be successful, endowed for now through eternity. I find Black history to be inspiring for a myriad of reasons. I find it to be an American history that somehow stands out and has its own celebratory fashion, because that's just the way people do things around here. You think you can quantify it or contain it to just one month in particular, but I view that as an opportunity for the emphasis just to be added additionally. So as far as the recognition that, again, this is American history. Black History Month in particular, yes, it heightens our awareness from a global perspective, from a national perspective. It definitely, can create a certain level of pandering, if I'm keeping it a buck. I hate to sort of see it in some capacities, but you'd be surprised, and maybe not so surprised, by the level of pandering people will do on the internet, especially in moments like these. So if you're listening to this and you are part of the culture, man, just be aware of that. Don't be out here pandering for attention. Attention is a hell of a drug. And if it's not coming from a place of genuineness, and if it's coming from outside the culture, just be aware of that. Don't just die for these people's adoration when you have your own people who adore you despite it not being Black History Month. We appreciate you 365, 12 months, 52 weeks, or however you want to look at it. You're appreciated. You are recognized. To all the queens out there, thank you for being you despite the odds, despite the adversities that Black women face in this country, despite the sexism that Black women face in this country from their peers, from constituents, from Black men, from other Black women. Just know that you are loved, you are appreciated, you are important, you are special, you are unique. Keep diving within to find that strength that you need to find, that fortitude that we all know we are inundated with. If nothing else, our fortitude and resilience has made us lasting. Permanence is something that we continue to find, seek, and you cannot uproot it. Again, we're endowed with certain strengths, fortitude, that come from, again, American history, our ancestral history, what we've overcome to get to this point, and what we will accomplish in the next point, the next decade, the next century. Endless and limitless possibilities, we all have them. And those are just some of the things I find to be inspiring, more so than ever before in any month other than this. But this is Black History Month. In political news, we've made history, as everyone in this country is aware. Joe Biden was elected the 46th president of the United States, and Kamala history. Again, in keeping up with the history in the making, her story, or her story, if you will, she has made that as the first Black woman, the first woman, I believe, with Asian, background as well, to be the vice president of the United States of America, man. So, you know, if I could give a clap, if you're listening to this, a little clap for her, obviously, man. This is a little clap, but a huge moment. Obviously, to women in general, to Black women in particular, to her sorority sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha. I know how important and significant the historical context of this is. And it's just a historical moment to where you can sort of take a sigh of relief, if you will, from what was the craziness of these past 4 years to feeling now like there are actual adults in charge. And so we can move accordingly with a sigh of relief, but still our foot on their necks. Okay, so it's glad that we got that clown out of office, but now we have to get back to the business of making this country be what it's supposed to be, the embodiment and representation of a vast minority And I think the Joe Biden administration, the Kamala Harris JB administration, has done a good job of obviously making one of the most diverse cabinets. And I talked about that, the historical implications there. And it just speaks to, again, understanding the people that helped you get to where you are. You then turn around and help them help those that they represent in the truest sense of it. And even just from day one, man, you know, some of the things that were on the to-do list: pathway to citizenship, reversing the Muslim ban, extended the student loan pause, rejoined the Paris Agreement, 100-day masking challenge, no evictions or foreclosures, the Keystone Pipeline, stopping that, ending the border emergency, and rejoining the World Health Organization. So from day one, man, I know Joe Biden got that pen to work. Sat here and watched the news for, you know, what seems like forever that day, just watching that executive pen, man, just fly and get to work. So I appreciate that pen maneuvering like he's been maneuvering it. And there have been even more executive orders since he took office on day one. A lot of things addressing climate change. Now he's getting to foreign affairs and foreign relationships, swinging the pen on a number of issues there. Now that he's done his executive parts, it's time for Congress and the Senate to do their parts. And that, I think, if it were me, should start with ensuring everybody who needs it get their stimulus checks, man. We're still in the midst of a pandemic. You still have people without jobs. You still have people who cannot see their loved ones, who are suffering from ramifications of this plague, if you will, that's killed some odd 400,000 people in less than a year. We need some sort of relief, man. We've got the 600, like Jen Psaki, the press secretary, said. You add 1,400 to that, that's the $2,000. Perfectly fine with that. Let's make sure we get that passed and done as swiftly as possible. Congress, between the Senate and the House, Dems got them both. So I'm gonna need to see, regardless of what Republicans feel, what they think. We don't got time to be trying to repair relations with these people if they don't want to help the greater American people at large immediately. So I want to see continued executive actions being done by Joe, and then the House and Senate, Congress, making sure that they do their job too. Let's keep our foot on their neck, people. We're just getting started. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Again, man, money. Wall Street, shout out to the Wu-Tang. Obviously, Wu-Tang Clan forever. It's been some crazy business happening, man, with the non-1 percenters, if you will, the non-Wall Streeters taking over and taking money from said 1 percenters via the internet. It's been interesting to see Reddit subgroups with some inside people on there providing just regular people, man, you know, chances and opportunities to elevate their income in the midst of a pandemic. You had billionaires fortifying themselves, making hundreds of millions in the midst of a pandemic. What's one of the ways people not in that position can do so? With help, you know, via memes and stock acquisition, going and betting essentially against Wall Street bets to make some profits. Now, I'm not going to sit here like some financial expert and tell you where to spend your money and how to spend it. But if you're trying to obviously build upon the regular income you have, if you will, presumably you want a diversified portfolio, stocks, bonds, the whole nine. Now, whether you get into the minutiae of day trading, you know, stock dumping and things of that nature for short gains, that's your own personal business. But I would recommend everybody at least take a look at it. Now, I'd say more than ever, we have apps that are doing a way better job of illustrating it, making it simple and easy to use. So again, man, I recommend, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on, starting out, if you're using services like PayPal or Cash App or even Acorns, you can read the different divested portfolio information they have available. They give you, you know, the overviews of how a stock, any stock really that you may be interested in, whether it's business, healthcare related, tech related, anything, give you an overview of what it's done in a day, a week, a month, a year, all time, just so you can get a better interest. I'd say everybody start with a dollar here or there, man. If there are some things you want to get interested in, obviously, You know, you can have your own personal interests, or there are companies you want to back because you just are convicted in backing those companies. Hey, take a dollar here, there, put it in there, five, if you will, so on and so forth. But always be looking to diversify that portfolio. These are the times to dip your toes in. Obviously, only doing it with what you can afford to lose. And if you're trying to make short gains, hey, man, you miss all the shots you don't take. So shoot or shoot. Up next, one of my favorite people. You've heard her featured on the show before. We talk education and Black History Month. My sister-in-law, somebody near and dear to me, Miss Megan Bearden, up next on the official Dom J Radio Show.
I am so honored to be back with you and discussing the state of education. And right now, the virtual learning education is really being redefined on what is possible for our students and our families and our teachers and our staff, etc. So this is an exciting time. It's a challenging time, but it's still very much so exciting. The biggest thing about virtual learning is getting students to be bought in to being on their computer all day. Because whether they're on an actual live classroom or doing an activity on their own, self-guided, it's still behind a screen. So really figuring out ways to get students invested and their input and just celebrating the successes that they are able to accomplish is a very big push in this virtual setting. The downfall with virtual learning is really depending on students to be independent. There's a certain fight and eagerness that you have to have in you to be focused enough to do this on your own. And usually, developmentally, students are there around the college senior year time, but we're asking for kindergartners and fifth graders and ninth graders to have the same capability and desire that we would see in a college environment. And that's hard. That is really, really hard. It's hard for parents because they don't know always what to do. It is hard for students because they feel defeated. And it's hard for teachers because you don't know how to support your kids because you don't have any work to see. Right now, with all of that, we have to be certain that we are doing our very best. So we can't get stuck in this is hard and it's impossible. The challenge as an educator right now is to figure out a way to make the impossible possible. And so it's an exciting time, even though it's challenging, to redefine what school could be. And it's also exciting to see students that struggled in the building are now thriving remotely. And so, like, is there a life in which students can now decide if they want to be remote or if they want to be in person, or a combination hybrid of both? So I think it's an exciting, I think we can do a lot with virtual learning. It's on us now to define what is possible.
Megan, you definitely make some great points about the importance of accountability and independence. Even in my own career field, that's something I'm working with my instructors on building with students. Because again, with the learning being virtual, there's really no foreseeable end to it in sight. So making the best out of it is a continued battle on a weekly and even daily basis in some situations. So I think the adaptability that both educators and families have had to show obviously is a point of celebration and something that we have to continue to build on, because we know if we don't take it into our own hands that there will be kids left behind. And I think, like you said, making them accountable and building their ability to be independent, building their confidence in their skills while their skills are still growing. I think these are the sort of challenges I know I work with in my own field, and I know you can probably share and relate to in that aspect as well. So I think you're dead on with that. And with no end in sight to a degree with this hybrid or virtual learning, I think it's just a continued battle that we have to take in stride, realize obviously Rome's not going to be built in a day. We're not going to have all the definitive answers and best methods right away, but our earnest efforts will end up eventually helping the children achieve more than they might have expected to achieve, and even some of the parents. And I always find that to be one of the best moments when students excel beyond even what their parents could have imagined, especially given the circumstances. So thank you. Thank you for speaking on it.
Now, Black History Month is a super special time anytime you're in a building, because usually you have some kind of show or performance. Either students are just doing their own personal talents, or you have a play for families and students to engage in. There's so many things you can do. We understand that Black history is not this one-dimensional thing. There are layers to it. And at my particular campus, we are taking a couple of different approaches to both celebrate but also educate Black history and our students and staff about the different components of that. Some of those things that we're doing is we have like some self-paced things that students can do on their own. So they can do trivia and be entered into a raffle. We have a Nearpod activity where students can like go at their own pace and just see and hear different experiences and stories about things that have happened in Black culture. And then we also are going to have a Black Excellence Award Show. Now, this award show is a tradition at my campus. However, this year we're going to incorporate a real life virtual experience for our students, like it would be an actual award show with videos, introductions, music, etc. It's a lot more that we can do virtually than we could do in a building. So we're taking every advantage of that. The final thing is that in our actual classrooms, we have encouraged our staff to find different ways to infuse Black history into their learning, into the learning that the scholars are going through. So, for example, in our Algebra 1 class, we are doing things that happen on this particular day in Black history, which is a different thing, like these random like people that we're talking about. It's like actual events or like people that had some kind of special impact on the world on this day of February, to kind of give some connection. Other teachers are doing things that are related to the content and how it applies. So, for example, in our history classes, they're talking about Black America and the impacts of COVID-19. So there's all kinds of things that we're doing to infuse Black history. And the reason why we're using this multi-layered approach is because there's things that will spark our students. They might hear something they might not have learned. They might learn something new that they didn't know about their own history. And our whole goal is to use this month to propel them to be curious about where they come from and what could they possibly add to our history, instead of these typical stories that they know back and forth and kind of tune out at this point in their high school journey. We want to challenge them to say, like, this was what Black history was. What will then you do to make Black history for the next generation?
I love it. I love it. I love it. I think anytime you can cultivate that curiosity and that ingenuity in students, you have to leap in that opportunity and really hold it until they sort of really just take stock on their own, especially if you're working with high schoolers. I think them having their own vision and understanding, this is the history we have behind us, and this is the history that we want to make moving forward. I think that's a hell of an exciting venture to be on, and I'm happy to hear that that's something that's going on in your area and in the New York area in general with the schools there. So that is something exciting. I'll definitely be following up with you on that, because I'm sure there are going to be some amazing surprises as to how, you know, this next generation sees and interprets history and how they choose to then become a part of it moving forward. That's some good stuff right there. Black History Month, y'all. Shout out to the kids. And there you have it, history in the making, episode 24 of the official Dom J Radio Show. Special guest, thank you. Thank you to all of my very special guests. Y'all are near and dear to my heart. I appreciate y'all stopping by, spending some time talking to the people. If you want to follow them, follow us all on IG. I'm tagging them in this episode, of course. You can find me on Instagram at Official Dom J. So as always, in the meantime, in between time, y'all stay blessed. Drink plenty of water. Get your rest and mind your business. To the next episode, like, share, and subscribe, all that. Peace.